Welcome to the People of Relic NKR podcast, where you're going to hear the stories of the people that work at these two amazing advertising agencies. Relic focuses on tourism, and NKR works with a variety of businesses to help people get the right message to the right people at the right time. And we have amazing people in our organization, and I am going to interview them to hear the unique stories and backgrounds that they have to help you better get to know the people of Relic and NKR. Macy Morris, thank you for joining me on the People of Relic and NKR podcast. How you doing?
Doing good.
Good?
Doing good. I got a microphone very close to my face.
Yes, you do. You'll get used to it, I promise. So, Macy, first of all, I guess, tell us what you do here, what your role is, and how long you've been here.
Yeah, so I'm a digital marketing specialist. I've been here since May of last year, so getting close to a year.
All right.
I handle all of the Google ads, paid social ads, geofencing, help with email automation, and I'm sure more. I can think of it.
All things digital marketing.
Pinterest, yes. Yep.
Awesome. So, Macy, tell us about your journey and what led you here.
Starting when?
You know what? Let's just start at birth.
At birth.
And just go from there.
All right.
Day one.
Yeah, day one. Born and raised in Gilbert, Arizona. Yeah, I grew up with three brothers, the only girl. That was a fun time.
Very well protected.
Very well protected, for sure. For sure. They're great. And I lived there for my whole life. And then I came to school up here, went to BYU. And I went to school for 6 years because I couldn't decide on a major. It changed a lot.
Tell me what some of the ones you explored were.
I originally thought I maybe wanted to do elementary education. I didn't really take much classes for it. I took a couple and then kind of decided I didn't want to do that.
Other people's kids.
Yeah, you know. It's a lot. It's a lot to handle. But I did also look at the industrial design major.
Hmm.
It's really cool. You like learn how to create products. It's also a really hard major to get into. And the process was going to be really long. And if I didn't get in, I'd like waste like a year and a half of school. So I was like, ooh, don't want to risk that. So I ended up doing the technology and engineering studies major for a little bit because it had some overlap with the industrial design classes.
Okay.
So I took a lot of random classes that were required for that major, one of which is woodworking. So I built a table.
Nice.
And then realized I didn't want to do that either, and I ended up in an intro to advertising class, and I loved it, and that's what I ended up doing.
Nice. Okay, yeah. First question. Do you still have the table?
I do. It is my blood, sweat, and tears, quite literally, and it is in my apartment. And
describe this table for us a little bit.
Yeah, so it's a little end table, and I really wanted to have two pieces of glass in the table so I could put pressed flowers in the table. And I didn't quite know how to do this, so I was, like, talking to the woodworking professor, and he's just, like, what you would think of. Like, he's, like, Ron Swanson. Just, like, just so, like, you want to put flowers in it? Like, yes. So I did do it. I figured it out, and I have my little wood end table that has flowers in it.
And was Ron impressed with your table? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Nice.
I think he's just happy to have me out of there. I spent way too much time because I was slow.
Well, so you talked about your childhood. You moved very quickly from day one of birth to college.
Yeah, we can go back.
Well, I'm just wondering, and I've asked everybody that's come on this show, is there a formative childhood memory that you remember that played a big part or had an impact on who you feel like you've become as an adult?
Yeah, I knew this question was coming, so I was thinking about it. So I think one of the big things for me growing up, I didn't feel like I was good at anything.
Hmm.
I You know, I grew up with three brothers. They're all athletic. They were all really good at volleyball. And I am not athletic. I'm really bad at sports. And I really wanted to be good at something. One of my favorite things to tell people is that in high school, I tried out for one sport, and it was badminton. And it was non-cut. It's always been non-cut. And
I see where this is
headed. Yeah, it's always been non-cut. And it's badminton. So I was like, I can do this. They still have tryouts because people like wanted to test it out. And I got cut. So yeah, that year they decided to do cuts, and they never had. And I did not make the badminton
What was
team.
That conversation like when they told you, Macy, we're sorry, but you haven't made the team.
Yeah, part of it was like, oh, like stab, like I can't even do this. But also it was like really funny. I was like, this is a good story. Like this would happen to me. So yeah, but yeah, I wasn't very good at like sports. I love music, but I'm not musically talented. I was in choir, but I wasn't like good at singing. And I really enjoyed like being creative and like art and everything, but my older brother is very talented at art. He's actually a motion designer at another agency.
Oh really?
Yeah, so he's really good. And I always just compared myself to him, and I was like, well, I'm like not even good at this like thing I like to do. But at some point I kind of just realized like that like people are always going to be better at me than something, and like that was kind of comforting. Like, there's always going to be someone better. And, like, I was, like, realized I was letting, like, the fear of not being good at something or the fear that somebody else would be better at it than me was keeping me from doing the things I actually, like, enjoyed doing, or, you know, kept me from even trying new things. That kind of happened in, like, the beginning of high school, like, freshman year, sophomore year. I kind of just, like, shifted my view on everything, and I was like, I should just do the things that I like to do and try new things even if I'm not good at them. And it's been really good for me, because like, I mean, today there's lots of things that I do that I wouldn't have done. Like, I go skiing, and I'm not good at skiing, and everybody waits for me because I'm super slow, but I like doing it. And I like doing art, and I draw more now and create things even if I, you know, mess up and I might not be as good at it as somebody else.
Is it almost like you removed the expectation of perfection from yourself?
Yeah.
Why was that important to do?
I needed to take that away so that I could actually try things.
So your demand for perfection for yourself inhibited your ability to try new things, because innately, when you're trying something new, you kind of suck at it at first, right?
Yeah. Or I'll suck at it forever, you know? And that's fine, as long as I, you know, kind of enjoy it and pushing myself to try new things.
Do you think that learning that and taking that pressure off yourself had anything to do with leading you to advertising from some of the other things that you had wanted to try before?
Yeah, for sure. I felt like advertising was a way for me to be creative and, you know, be involved in strategy and coming up with things, even if I didn't have to do, you know, even if I wasn't doing like graphic design, you know, like I liked creating stuff like that, but even though I wasn't necessarily like a part, I could still be part of the creation process. And I felt like it was a good mix of my talents to be in advertising.
Great. For other people, because there's a lot of people that I think that have grown up like you with the pressure of I'm not going to try something if I'm not going to be good at it. I actually have a little brother. I hope he doesn't listen to this, but you know, he really for most of his life refused to try new things because he felt like he had to be great at everything he did. But the only way to become great is to practice, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't know. What advice would you have for people that struggle with that type of thing?
Yeah, I think just don't stop yourself from doing things that you enjoy or could enjoy just because of, you know, fear. And also just, like, don't care what other people think. It's kind of like something I kind of tried to live off of in high school and college. Just like, it doesn't really matter. Like, the people who want to be friends with you will be friends with you. And people really don't care if you're not good at sports or whatever. People don't care.
Yeah. Well, I think it's good advice, Macy. Yeah. And I actually think there's a lot of people that grow up kind of telling themselves that they can't try something unless they're going to be great at it. So I'm glad to hear that you overcame it. You stopped on your journey. You had just entered the BYU advertising program. Well, you took intro to advertising.
Yes.
What led you from there to Relic? Well, EKR and then Relic, I should say.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, so I took the intro class and I loved it. And I applied to the program and, you know, got in. And I slowly took my classes because I had already finished all my generals. So I was taking like one class a semester for like the last 2 years of college. So it was very slow going. I did get an internship though at a reputation management company where I kind of helped with some SEO and some social listening things I did there. And then, yeah, you, Adam, reached out to me on LinkedIn, and I also have two roommates that have worked here.
Are you serious?
Yes. So Kayla.
Uh-huh.
Kayla.
Which, you know, if you're listening, Kayla, come back.
Yes, Kayla, we miss you. Kayla worked here, so I had heard good things from her, and Izzy and me were also roommates.
You and Izzy were roommates?
Yes, me, Izzy, and Kayla were all random roommates at one point. And yeah, so I already knew about Relic and I'd heard good things. And I had looked at your jobs before and I hadn't seen anything specific for me. But you reached out about the digital marketing position and I applied.
I actually forgot that that's how this came to be until right now.
That is what happened.
When a position comes available, I usually spend a lot of time scouring LinkedIn and trying to find somebody that would be a good fit.
Well, thank you for doing it.
Absolutely. So tell us about the job you have here. You said that you do all things digital marketing. Was that your interest coming out of school, or was that a pivot for you? Tell me about that.
Yeah, I think a lot of coming out of school, it was kind of hard to figure out where I wanted to be. You know, there's lots of things that you can't actually learn in school, you know. I mean, if you're doing the design side of things, you can sure learn that. But I had been involved a little bit with like SEO at past jobs. So I was kind of interested in that, but I didn't think I wanted that to be like my full thing. I'd also looked at like media buying positions as well. But once I learned more about like kind of what this job was, I thought it was really interesting. I felt like there's lots of opportunities to grow and to learn and lots of different kind of channels to be working through.
Great. And so you started on the EKR side.
Yes.
Maybe tell me some of the projects that you really enjoyed working on there and then some of the projects you've enjoyed on the Relic side.
Yeah. On EKR, we worked with Ronald McDonald House, which they're fun to work with. You know, a good feel-good client.
Yeah.
To be able to help with them. And the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as a client. And I've continued to help on that side of things still. And they're great. And there's so many different things that they do. So it's kind of cool to be involved on all different sides of it.
Yeah. What about on the Relic side?
Yeah, on the Relic side, one of our clients is Dana Point, which I love because I've spent a lot of time in that area.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, my family's grown up. Like, my whole life, we go to San Clemente, which is really close to Dana Point. Uh-huh. Yeah, we go there every summer. So I like doing stuff for them. I feel really connected. And it's easy to advertise for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a fun one.
Well, we recently shared a case study in our staff meeting this week about the Tuacon 72-hour sale,
yeah.
Which I know we had had some bumps in the road on the previous year in managing their digital, but I mean, I don't know how else to say it. We, and when I say we, I mean you, knocked it out of the park this year. So tell us about that specific project and, I don't know, some of the results that you saw.
Yeah, so Tuacon's super cool, and they're We have a, they have a 72 hour sale every year. And their tickets are BOGO 50% off. And we kind of came at it pretty strong this year with some different ideas, running ads earlier, trying to kind of build awareness, just because it is such a short period of time that those ads are running. And we think that really helped with things. And we saw some awesome success, some really great return on ad spend. Yeah, they beat their record this year of how many they wanted to sell. I want to say it was 2 million.
In revenue,
yes.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Macy, it's fun to kind of learn about some of the projects you're working on and everything. Let's look into the future. We talked talked present. What does the future look like for you?
I think career-wise, just being able to be in a position where I'm able to be creative and just constantly learning. I've been in jobs where, you know, they're kind of mindless and, you know, you think that like the easy jobs would be nice and they're not. They're boring and I don't feel fulfilled. And I feel like that's been something I've really enjoyed here, that I feel like there is lots of room for growth and there's always new things to learn. And advertising is always changing. And, you know, Google Ads and Facebook Ads, they're always changing the rules on us. And it's fun to be able to kind of learn and see how we can expand things.
Let's fast forward 25 years or so.
25 years.
You're looking back on your career.
Yes.
How do you know if it was successful?
That's a good question. I think just as long as I feel like I am creating something and I felt fulfilled in my day to day, I think that's a successful career.
You sound pretty easy to please, Macy. That's good. Oh, and for those listening, she just hit her head on
the
wall.
Yeah, can you hear that? It's fine. It didn't hurt. I think it sounded worse than it was.
Do we need to get a medic or are you
okay? I'm good.
No, I can't remember the question I asked you, to be honest with you.
Oh, 25 years from now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think also, too, you know, I see, you know, having a family and all of that would be part of it. So I think, you know, being able to do something where I'm able to be able to still feel involved and having things outside of that as well.
Yeah.
I think I liked having some type of creative outlet, and I think work has been a great way to do that. And yeah.
And are we hoping to have a second table at some point introduced into the picture here?
Probably not.
That was a one-time thing.
I think it might be a one-time thing. You know, I think I got real close to losing some fingers. I don't know if I could do it again, but we'll see.
Nice.
Maybe I'll paint some, you know. I don't know if I'll go back to building.
Okay. Good to know. Macy, for those that are going to be working with you, interacting with you, what do they need to know?
I don't know. I don't know if there's anything else. I always like to joke that I need to tell people how old I am, since I'm always mistaken for being like 10 years younger than I am. But
so, yeah, we are not breaking any child labor laws by having Macy around, and everybody needs to know that.
No need to worry anyone.
Am I allowed to ask? How old are you,
Macy? I'm 24.
24.
Not that that's like crazy old or anything, but, you know, I have.
But it's a legal age for employment. I want to, again, clarify.
Yeah, I will say I had some high school boys recently who tried to get my number, and I was like, I am married and so much older than you.
Oh, that's hilarious. And a little part of you had to be like, I still got
it. Yeah,
that's
true. That's true.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Macy, it's been really fun to get to know you, and I'm very glad I reached out to you on LinkedIn. Very glad you've had the roommates that you've had, because you wound up here. So thank you for taking some time to tell us your story.
Oh, of course. This has been fun.
This is one of the many stories of the people of Relic and EKR. I hope you'll stick with us and listen to the other stories that we release on a weekly basis and get to know our whole team. We've got some amazing people here, and we hope you enjoy it.